الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Interesting information about Lohi Mahfuz, i.e. the preserved tablet. Dua of Attar, O Lord of the Prophet, whoever listens to or reads the 31-page booklet, interesting information about Lohi Mahfuz, i.e. the preserved tablet, grant them a wealth of knowledge, may they act upon it, and forgive them, their parents and relatives, without accountability. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A virtue of salat upon the last prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The one who faces any difficulty should recite salat upon me abundantly, because reciting salat upon me prevents calamities and afflictions. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, almost every Muslim hears the word Lohi Mahfuz after he has matured. However, it is not necessary that everyone has knowledge about it. Let us learn what Lohi Mahfuz is. Mentioning Lohi Mahfuz, Allah Almighty has said in verses 21 and 22 of Surah Al-Buruj in part 30, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Bal huwa Qur'anun Majid fi Lawhim Mahfuz. Translation of Kanzul Iman, rather it, i.e. what the beloved Prophet Muhammad recites, is a magnificently excellent Quran, written in the preserved tablet. Commenting on the foregoing verses, Allama Muhammad bin Ahmad Ansari Qurtubi has stated, under these verses in Tafsir Qurtubi, volume 10, page 210. The Holy Quran is written on a loh, a preserved tablet, which is not accessible to Satans and is protected by Allah Almighty. Islamic scholars, rahmahumullah, have stated that the Lohi Mahfuz contains the description of all kinds of creatures, as well as all matters related to them, such as death, sustenance, deeds, their consequences, and the decisions to be implemented about them. Location of Lohi Mahfuz. Sayyiduna Muqatil Rahmatullahi Alayhi has stated, the Lohi Mahfuz is located at the right side of the Arsh, i.e. the Divine Throne. Lohi Mahfuz is made of white pearl. Sayyiduna Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma has narrated that the greatest and holiest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated, the Lohi Mahfuz is made of white pearl. Its pen is Nur and its writing is also Nur. What was the first thing written in Lohi Mahfuz? Sayyiduna Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma has stated, the very first thing which Allah Almighty wrote in Lohi Mahfuz is, I am Allah. No one other than me deserves to be worshipped. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is my prophet, one who accepted my decision, had patience with the trouble I brought on him, and expressed gratitude for my favors. I wrote him as Siddiq, and will resurrect him with Siddiqeen, and one who did not accept my decision, did not have patience with the trouble I brought on him, and did not express gratitude for my bounties, then he should make anyone his Lord other than me. Subservience to Nafs. Hajjaj bin Yusuf once wrote a warning letter to Sayyiduna Muhammad bin Hanfiya radiyallahu anhu. In reply, he rahmatullahi alayhi wrote, a narrated saying has reached me that Allah Almighty sees Lohi Mahfuz 360 times each day. He Azza wa Jalla gives respect and disgrace, causes poverty and prosperity, and does whatever He Azza wa Jalla wills. Perhaps One of those sights has made you engage in your nafs so much that you are never free from it. Everything occurring till Judgment Day is written in Lohi Mahfuz. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma has stated, Allah Almighty created Lohi Mahfuz. It was 100 years distance in length. Then, before Allah Almighty made the creation, He commanded the pen, You write my knowledge about the creation. Hence, it recorded everything occurring till Judgment Day. One testifying, La ilaha illallah, will enter paradise. Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu anhu has narrated that the revered and renowned Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has stated, Without doubt, Allah Almighty wrote in Lohi Mahfuz, Inni anallahu la ilaha illa ana. Without doubt, I am Allah Almighty, and no one other than me is Ma'bud, i.e. deserves to be worshipped. I have made over 310 kinds of creatures. Out of them, any creation who testified La ilaha illallah will enter paradise. Who deserves paradise? Sayyiduna Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma has said, It is stated in Lohi Mahfuz that there is none worthy of worship except Allah Almighty. His religion is Islam, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his distinguished bondsman and prophet. Allah will admit into paradise the one who believed in him, fulfilled his promise, and followed his prophets. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Good news of birth of baby boy. Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehlvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi has narrated that his father Shah Abdul Rahim Rahmatullahi Alayhi has stated, Once I went to visit the shrine of Sayyiduna Khawaja Bakhtiyar Qaqi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. His soul appeared and told me, You will have a baby boy. Name him Qutbuddin Ahmad. Since my wife had been quite old, I figured that my son would have a son. I would have a grandson. Becoming instantly aware of my inner thought, Sayyiduna Khawaja Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Qaqi Rahmatullahi Alayhi said, I did not mean what you have understood. It is you who will father that son. Shah Waliullah Rahmatullahi Alayhi further reported, Long after it, my father married another woman who gave birth to me. The narrator of this parable, on that occasion, he, i.e. my father, forgot this parable and named me Waliullah. But later on he recalled it and named me Qutbuddin Ahmad, respecting the wish of Shaykh Sayyiduna Khawaja Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Qaqi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. May Allah Almighty have mercy on them and forgive us without accountability for their sake. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Why did you not come out upon the first thought? By the bestowment of Allah Almighty, Sayyiduna Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi would also become aware of the thoughts of the heart. Sayyiduna Khair Un-Nasaj rahmatullahi alayhi has stated, I was in my home. The thought that Sayyiduna Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi has come to my door suddenly came in my heart, but I pushed it away. The same thought came for the second and then for the third time. After I came out, I really found him standing at the door. He, rahmatullahi alayhi, said to me, Why didn't you come out when the first thought occurred to you? Subhanallah, you have learned that Sayyiduna Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi alayhi, told the news of ghaib, i.e. unseen, saying, Why did you not come out when the first thought occurred to you? If this is the knowledge of ghaib of awliya, then how great and glorious would be the blessed knowledge of ghaib of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allama Busiri Rahmatullahi Alayh has composed the following couplet in his famous Qasida Burda Sharif. فَإِنَّ مِنْ جُودِكَ الدُّنْيَا وَضَرَّتَهَا وَمِنْ عُلُومِكَ عِلْمَ اللَّوْهِ وَالْقَلَمِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ The world as well as the hereafter are only a portion of your generosity. The knowledge of the lawh and the pen in which whatever happened and will happen, all is written, is simply a part of your blessed knowledge. My master, Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayh, has also composed a couplet in the blessed court of the beloved and blessed Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam. Khuda ne kiya tujhko aga sab se, do alam mein jo kuch khafi o jali hai. Karun arz kya tujh se e ali musir, ke tujh par meri halat-e dil khuli hai. Explanation of the couplet of Raza. In the foregoing couplets, Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi has said, number one, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alayhi Wa Alihi Wasallam, Allah Almighty has informed you about everything, whether concealed or apparent, in both the worlds. Number two, O the one who knows hidden things, what request should I make to you? You know the entire condition of my heart. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Call to righteousness even after demise. Sulaiman Umri rahmatullahi alayhi said that he had seen Abu Jafar Qadri rahmatullahi alayhi in a dream after the latter's demise. Abu Jafar Qadri rahmatullahi alayhi said, convey my salam to my brothers and inform them that my Allah Almighty has bestowed upon me the status of martyrs as well as sustenance from him. Also convey my salam to Abu Hazim, warn him to come to his senses and to get cautious because Allah Almighty and his angels see his night gatherings. Superior to 1,000 rakat salah. Dear Islamic brothers, this parable indicates that Sayyiduna Abu Jafar Qari rahmatullahi alayhi was aware of the night gatherings of Abu Hazim even after passing away. It seems that Abu Hazim would have bad company at night, which is why Sayyiduna Abu Jafar rahmatullahi alayhi sent a message to him along with salam, conveying the call to righteousness and alerting him to the consequences of his night gatherings. All of us should refrain from bad company, which can have an adverse influence even on a pious person. One should always keep the company of the pious bondsmen and the devotees of Rasul. Hujjatul Islam, Sayyiduna Imam Abu Hamid Muhammad bin Muhammad bin Muhammad al-Ghazali, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, has stated in Kimiya-i Sa'adat, one should search for such a person whose company and conversation lessen one's interest in the world, inspiring his interest in the hereafter. One whose conversation does not produce such an effect will not be deemed to be having a gathering of knowledge. It is narrated, to attend a gathering of knowledge is preferable to offering 1,000 rakat nafil salah. Maulana Rum has composed a couplet in Masnavi Sharif. Yak zamana sohbate ba awliya, behtar az sad sala ta'ate beriya. Translation, to have the company of awliya for a short while is better than the sincerely performed worship of 100 years. Friendship of rat and frog. Describing the loss of bad company, Arif Billah Maulana Rum Rahmatullahi Alayhi has stated, at a rivulet bank, a rat and a frog met each other by chance, becoming friends. The rat said, if I ever want to meet you, how will I inform you about it? You live underwater where voice cannot reach. It was finally decided that one end of a piece of thread be tied to a leg of the rat, while its other end to a leg of the frog, so that both of them will be able to inform each other when necessary. Therefore, they did as was decided. One day, all of a sudden, A crow pounced on the rat and flew in the air with the rat under its beak. The frog tied with the thread was also being dragged in the air. The frog said, "This is the punishment of friendship with someone stupid like a rat. It shows that the company of stupid and wicked people causes a lot of troubles." اے فغان از یار ناجنس اے فغان ہم نشین نیک جوید اے مہان. Translation: I complain about the stupid friend. All my friends, look for pious companions. Adopt the company of devotees of Rasul as the one keeping their company and having affection for them will fear Allah Almighty and have devotion to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is stated in a hadith Qudsi, وَجَبَتْ مُحَبَّتِي لِلْمُتَحَابِينَ فِيَّ وَالْمُتَجَالِسِينَ فِيَّ وَالْمُتَزَاوِرِينَ فِيَّ وَالْمُتَبَاذِلِينَ فِيَّ. Translation: Allah Almighty says, those who love each other because of me and sit next to each other because of me and mingle with each other and spend money, my love has become wajib, i.e. obligatory, for them. Parable of Hadith describing preacher. Sayyiduna Abdan bin Muhammad Marwazi rahmatullahi alayhi has stated, I saw Hafiz Yaqub bin Sufyan rahmatullahi alayhi in my dream and asked, Ma fa'alallahu bika? How did Allah Almighty treat you? He replied, Allah Almighty has forgiven me and said, describe hadith in the heavens as you used to do in the world. Therefore, I described hadith in the fourth sky, and angels gathered beside me. And Sayyiduna Jibra'il alayhi salam ordered me to dictate the hadith. Then the angels wrote it with gold pens. Deceased father was smiling in green attire. Dear Islamic brothers, you have noticed that Islamic scholars and hadith preachers have a very high rank. Not only was a hadith preacher given the good news of forgiveness, but he was also privileged to describe hadith amongst angels in the fourth sky, which they wrote with gold pens. O those who long for paradise in afterlife, you also gain the treasure of religious knowledge by attending the weekly sunnah-inspiring ijtimas of Da'wat-e-Islami and by travelling with sunnah-inspiring Madni qafilas in the company of devotees of Rasul. Also continue to strive for Jannatul Firdaus by acting upon pious deeds, listening to sunnah-inspiring speeches and delivering at least two dars daily from Fizan-e Sunnat consistently. Here is a summary of a Madani parable for your persuasion and motivation. An Islamic brother from Nishtar Basti, Karachi stated, I once had a dream in which I saw my deceased father in an extremely weak condition. He was wearing no clothes and walking with someone else's support. I got worried. Therefore, I intended to travel with Madani qafilas for 3 days every month with the intention of isale thawab, i.e. conveying thawab, for my father. I began journeys regularly. 3 months later, having returned from a Madani qafila, when I went to sleep at home, I had a dream in which I saw my father again. This time, I found him smiling, dressed in green attire. A light rain was also showering on him. Alhamdulillah. The importance of travelling with Madani qafilas became even more evident to him. And now he is determined to continue travelling for 3 days every month with the devotees of Rasul. InshaAllah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Do dreams reveal definite information? Dear Islamic brothers, good dreams are certainly good. Remember, a prophet's dream is based on revelation, i.e. wahi, but the dream of a non-prophet does not have such credibility and his dream is not regarded as proof. For example, if somebody dreamt that the Holy Prophet وسلم, gave him the glad tidings of entering heaven, we cannot still declare that the dreaming person will surely enter heaven just on the basis of his dream. No doubt, whoever sees the Holy Prophet وسلم, in a dream has definitely seen him, because the devil cannot appear in the form of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, and whatever he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam says in the dream is doubtlessly true. However, there is a possibility of mishearing and misunderstanding as a person's senses are weak in dream. Hence, it cannot be declared for sure that the dreaming person has heard every single word clearly and correctly, since it is quite possible that the dreaming person may have misheard and misunderstood. One must refer to the ruling of Sharia before carrying out the order given in the dream. If the order given in the dream does not contradict Sharia, it can certainly be carried out. Still, it is not wajib by Sharia to do so. On the other hand, if it contradicts Sharia, then it will not be carried out at all. This issue can further be elaborated on with the help of the following example. Was he commanded to drink alcohol or abstain from it? Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat, reviver of Sunnah, eradicator of Bidda, scholar of Sharia, guide of Tariqah, Allama Mawlana, Al-Hajj, Al-Hafiz, Al-Qari, Al-Shah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, has stated, once a man dreamt that the Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah, Sallallahu Alayhi Wa Alihi Wasallam, ordered him to drink alcohol. Allah Azza wa Jalla forbid. The dreaming person consulted Sayyiduna Imam Jafir Sadiq Rahmatullahi Alayhi about the interpretation of the dream. Imam Jafir Sadiq Rahmatullahi Alayhi said, the noble Rasul Sallallahu Alayhi Wa Alihi Wasallam prohibited you from drinking alcohol. You misheard. Remember, the sinners and the pious are equal in this matter. In other words, a pious person's dream will not necessarily be considered true just on the basis of his piety. Similarly, a sinner's dream will not necessarily be considered unreliable because of his sins. The criterion for true and false dreams has already been explained. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. When he saw a young man making wuzu incorrectly, a saint was passing through some area in Baghdad. He saw a young man who was not making wuzu properly. The saint explained to him very affectionately, O young man, make wuzu correctly. May Allah Almighty bestow grace upon you in the world and in the hereafter. Saying this, the saint went away. The young man, who was very impressed by the beautiful way the call to righteousness was conveyed to him, went to the saint after making wuzu and sought advice from him. Conveying the call to righteousness, the saint gave him three madni pearls. Number one, know that the one who gains the marifah, i.e. recognition of the creator of the universe, will gain absolution. Number two, one who feels religious, i.e. divine fear, will be protected from destruction. Number three, one who adopts asceticism in the world will feast his eyes on the reward granted to him by Allah Almighty on the day of resurrection. The saint then said, Should I tell something more? The young man replied, Do tell me. The saint said, Anyone having three characteristics has perfected his faith. Number one, one who enjoins good and also acts upon what he enjoins. Number two, one who prevents evil and also refrains from it. Number three, one who protects divinely declared boundaries, i.e. carries out the commandments of Sharia and refrains from Sharia prohibited deeds. The saint further asked, Should I tell something more? The young man replied, Why not? The saint said, Get uninterested in the world and fascinated by the hereafter. Adopt truthfulness about every matter with your Creator. You will gain salvation with other salvation-gaining ones. Saying this, the saint went away. The young man inquired about the saint. So he was told that the saint was Sayyiduna Imam Shafi'i Rahmatullahi Alayh. May Allah Almighty have mercy on him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. One should reform others instead of criticizing them unnecessarily. Dear Islamic brothers, notice how the religious guide of millions of Shafi'i Muslims, Sayyiduna Muhammad bin Idris, famously known as Imam Shafi'i Rahmatullahi Alayh, made individual effort very affectionately and gently conveying the call to righteousness to a young man who was not making wuzu properly, thus reforming him. If only we would also succeed in following the same way. May we also be granted tawfiq that if we ever see someone making mistakes in wudu, be negligent in salah, or commit sins such as lying, backbiting, tale-telling, we attempt to rescue him from the mire of sins rather than jump into the abyss of backbiting by unreasonably criticizing him and speaking ill about him. We should advise him very affectionately and cautiously, gaining the treasure of rich reward in the afterlife. If we make anyone understand with sincere intentions, it will certainly bear fruits, insha'Allah. Why will this not bring benefit? Hence, in his truthful book, Allah Almighty has already declared that advice produces benefit. Stated below, in this context, in the 55th verse of Surah Al-Dhariyat, with its translation from pages 964 of Sacred Kanzul Iman, published by Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami, Allah Almighty has said in part 27, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Translation of Kanzul Iman. And give advice, i.e. remind, that giving advice benefits the Muslims. Method of Wuzu Hanafi. Dear Islamic brothers, the foregoing parable shows that Sayyiduna Imam Shafi'i Rahmatullahi Alayh rectified the mistakes of a young man about Wuzu. People would make mistakes in wudu even in that era. Today the situation is even worse. It is observed that most Muslims do not know how to make wudu correctly. Therefore, let us learn the method of wudu. It is stated on page 7 to 13 of the book Laws of Salah, published by Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami. It is mustahab to sit on an elevated place facing the Qibla. Making intention for wudu is a sunnah. If wudu is made without intention, wudu will still be valid. But one will not earn reward. An intention is a firm resolution inside your heart. To make a verbal intention is preferable provided the intention in the heart is present. Make the verbal intention in these words: I am doing wuzu in order to fulfill the commandment of Allah Azza wa Jalla and to attain purity. Recite Bismillah as it is a sunnah. Recite also Bismillahi walhamdulillah. By its blessings, angels will continue to write virtues as long as one is in the state of wuzu. Now wash both hands up to the wrists 3 times with the top turned off. And do khilal, i.e. pass the fingers of one hand through the gaps of the fingers of the other, rubbing them together. Use miswak at least 3 times in the right, left, upper and lower teeth. Rinse the miswak each time. Hujjatul Islam Sayyiduna Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayh has stated, whilst using a miswak, make the intention of cleaning the mouth for reciting the Holy Quran in Salah and making the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now rinse your mouth 3 times with handful of water using the right hand with the tap turned off each time, ensuring that the water reaches all parts of the mouth up to the throat each time. Gargle as well if you are not fasting. Then sniff water 3 times with half a handful of water with the right hand up to the soft part of the nose with the tap turned off each time. If you are not fasting, sniff water up to the top part of the inner soft bone of the nose. Now wipe the inside of the nose, inserting the little finger of the left hand into the nostrils with the top turned off. Now wash the whole face 3 times in such a way that water must flow on every part of it from the top of the forehead, the point where the hair naturally begins to grow, to the bottom of the chin and from one earlobe to the other. Do khilal of your beard if you have one with the top turned off and are not in ihram by inserting your fingers into your beard from beneath and bringing them out to the front. Now first wash the right arm from the tips of the fingers up to and including the elbow 3 times, and then wash the left arm in the same manner. It is mustahab to wash up to half of the upper part of the arm. Most people take a small amount of water in their hand and pour it over the arms towards the elbow 3 times. This involves the risk of water not flowing over the sides of the wrists and the arm. Therefore, wash arms as mentioned above. Now there is no need to pour a handful of water over the arms. In fact, doing this without a valid shari justification is a waste of water. Now wipe the head with the top turned off, leaving the index fingers and thumbs. Join the tips of the 3 fingers of both hands and place them on the skin or hair of the forehead. Take these fingers, pressing them gently from the forehead all the way to the back of the neck without the palms touching the head. Then bring back the palms from the back of the neck to the forehead. During this, the index fingers and thumbs should not touch the head at all. Now pass the index fingers over the inside surface of the ears. Then pass the thumbs over the outer surface of the back of the ears and insert the little fingers into the openings of the ears. Then wipe the back of the neck with the back of fingers of both hands. Some people wipe the throat, i.e. the front of the neck, forearms and wrists which are already washed. This is not sunnah. A method of wiping is also mentioned in Fatawa-i Razaviyya, Volume 4, page 621. It is more convenient, especially for Islamic sisters. Therefore, it is written, in wiping the head, it is also sufficient for performing the sunnah, just to place the fingers on the front part of the head and the palms on the sides of the head. And he should place his hands firmly and pull them up to the nape. Make a habit of turning the tap off properly before wiping the head. It is israf and sin to wipe the head with the tap turned on or turned off improperly, resulting in water dribbling and going to waste. Now wash both feet 3 times, first the right and then the left, beginning from the toes up to the top of the ankles. It is mustahab to wash the feet up to the half shank 3 times. It is sunnah to do khilal of the toes of both feet. The tap should be kept turned off during khilal. Its mustahab method is to begin khilal from the little toe of the right foot to its big toe using the little finger of the left hand, and then doing khilal from the big toe of the left foot to its little toe using the same little finger of the left hand. Common books. Hujjatul Islam Sayyiduna Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali Rahmatullahi Alayhi has said, whilst washing each body part during wuzu, one should hope that the sins of that body part are being washed away. Leftover water of wuzu has cure for 70 diseases. It is sunnah to stand and drink the leftover wuzu water from the pot one has made wuzu with. And it also has cure for diseases. My master, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahli Sunnat, Mawlana Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullahi Alayh, has stated on pages 575 and 576 of the fourth volume of referenced Fatawa-i Razaviyya, Sharia requires that the leftover water of wuzu be respected and honoured. It is proven that the beloved and blessed Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made wudu and drank the leftover water while standing. Another hadith states that drinking this water is cure for 70 diseases. In these matters, this water is like zamzam water. It is not appropriate to make istinja with the leftover water of wudu. Describing the manners of wudu, the book Tanveer states that one should drink the leftover water of wudu while standing and facing the Qibla. Allama Abdul Ghani Nablusi Rahmatullahi Alayhi has stated, I have experienced that when I fall ill, I get cure by means of the leftover water of wudu. I have adopted this approach by relying on the perfect treatment advised by the beloved and blessed Prophet Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib Sallallahu ala Muhammad. All 8 doors of heaven open. It is stated in a hadith, whoever makes wudu properly and then looks towards the sky and recites kalima shahada, 8 doors of heaven are opened for him so that he may enter through any of the doors he likes. Eyesight never gets weak. If a person looks towards the sky after making wudu and recites Surah Al-Qadr, his eyesight will never become weak, inshaAllah. Excellence of reciting Surah Al-Qadr thrice after wudu. One sacred hadith mentions, if a person recites Surah Al-Qadr once after wudu, he will be included in Siddiqeen. And if he recites it twice, he will be included in Martyrs. And if he recites it 3 times, Allah Azza wa Jalla will keep him with his prophets alayhimus salam on the day of judgment. Dua to be recited after wudu with salat upon the last prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, once before and after it. If a person recites the following kalimat after he has made wudu, these kalimat will be sealed and kept below the arsh and be given to the reciter on the day of judgment. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Translation: O Allah Azza wa Jalla, you are pure and all praises are for you. I testify that there is none worthy of worship except you. I seek forgiveness from you and I turn to you for repentance. Recite this dua too after wuzu with salat upon the last Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam once before and after it. Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabin waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin. Translation: O Allah Azza wa Jalla, make me amongst those who repent abundantly and make me amongst those who remain pure. 40 Razavi Madani pearls. Appended below are 40 Razavi Madani pearls regarding wuzu, etc., presented by Ala Hazrat Imam Ahli Sunnat Mawlana Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullahi Alayh, which will insha'Allah increase your knowledge. All of these Madani pearls are extracted from page 613 to 746 of Fawaide Jalila, contained in the fourth volume of referenced Fatawa-e Razaviya. Number 1. One should not tightly close his eyes during wuzu. However, if anyone does so, his wuzu will still be valid. Number 2. If wuzu is made with lips tightly closed and did not rinse the mouth, wuzu will not be valid. Number 3. The water of wuzu will be placed onto the pan of good deeds on the day of judgment. But remember, using water in excess of need is israf, i.e. wastefulness. Number 4. If miswak is available, then cleaning the teeth with a finger is not sufficient to perform sunnah and to gain reward. However, if miswak is not available, then cleaning teeth with a finger or a coarse piece of cloth is sufficient to perform sunnah. For women to clean teeth with missi, i.e. black herbal powder, is sufficient even if miswak is available. Number 5. If one is wearing a loosely fit ring, then washing the skin beneath it by moving the ring is sunnah. If the ring is tightly fitted and water cannot reach beneath it without moving it, then washing the skin beneath the ring by moving it is farz. The same ruling applies to earrings, etc. Number 6. To wash parts of the body by rubbing them thoroughly is sunnah both in wuzu and ghusl. Number 7. When washing the parts of body during wuzu, it is wajib to wash them a little more than the minimum washing limit determined by Sharia, so that there remains no doubt about them being washed up to the Sharia determined washing limit. Number 8. To give up rinsing the mouth or sniffing water into the nose during wuzu is makruh, i.e. disliked. One habitual of doing so will be a sinner. Those who do not rinse the mouth in such a way that every part of the mouth up to the throat is washed, and those who only cause water to come into contact with the nose without sniffing it, are all sinners. If this mistake is made during ghusl, then the ghusl as well as the salah will not be valid at all. Number 9. During wuzu, it is sunnati mu'akkada to wash every part of the body which is washed in wuzu completely 3 times. One habitual of missing it will be a sinner. Number 10. One should not make wuzu in a hurry. Instead, make it calmly and carefully. There is a common misconception that one should make wuzu like a young man, i.e. very quickly, and offer salah like an old man, i.e. very slowly. This is not correct about wuzu. Number 11. When washing the face, one should neither start by throwing water on the cheeks nor on the nose, nor should he throw water on the forehead with force, as all of them are the practices of the ignorant. What one should do is to pour water gently over the top part of the forehead so that it flows down the chin. Number 12. During wuzu, if the water dripping from the face falls over the arm, for example, and flows over it, wuzu will not be valid. As for ghusl, the ruling is different. For example, in ghusl, the water poured over the head will purify all area it flows over. There is no need to wash that area with unused water. Number 13. If someone sits to perform wuzu but could not finish it owing to some hindrance, he will gain reward for every act he had done so far, even if wuzu is invalid. Number 14. One who had already intended to make half wuzu will not gain reward for those acts. Similarly, one sitting to make wuzu and does not complete it without any valid reason should not deserve to be rewarded for all the acts he had done. Number 15. If so many drops of rain fall over the head of a person that 1/4 part of it gets wet, masah will be valid even if he neither touched his head nor intended to do. Number 16. If dew drops fall over the head uncovered, wetting 1/4 part of it, masah will be valid. Number 17. It is makruh to make wudu with so much hot or cold water which cannot be properly poured over the body, making it impossible to fulfill sunnah. If any farz is not fulfilled due to this water, wuzu will not be valid at all. Number 18. To use water purposelessly or to throw it away is haram. Those throwing away leftover water of the glass or the jug after they or anyone else has drunk should repent and refrain from it in future. Number 19. If yellowish fluid flows out of the navel, wuzu will become invalid. Number 20. If blood or pus flows within the eye and has not flowed out of the eye, wuzu will not be invalid. If it is wiped with a piece of cloth and the cloth is put into water, the water will not be impure. Number 21. If a wound is bandaged but the bandage is stained with blood, etc., in so much quantity that it would have flown if the wound had not been bandaged, wuzu will become invalid. Otherwise, neither wuzu will become invalid, nor will the bandage get impure. Number 22. If one feels as if a droplet is going to be discharged, or blood, etc., flows within the penis, wuzu will remain valid unless the droplet comes out from the opening of the penis. If urine only appears at the opening of the penis, this is sufficient to invalidate wuzu. Number 23. Minors never lose their wuzu and ghusl. They are advised to make wuzu and ghusl in order that they learn manners and become habitual of wuzu and ghusl. No wuzu invalidating act invalidates their wuzu. Number 24. If a person who is in the state of wuzu washes the clothes of their parents, washes fruits for them to eat, or washes the masjid's floor to earn reward, water will remain unused even though these deeds are performed for divine pleasure. Number 25. If a minor takes their pure hand or any other part of their body into water, even when not in the state of wuzu, that water will still remain usable for wuzu. Number 26. To keep the body clean and to remove dirt are required by Sharia, as Islam is based on cleanliness. If someone in the state of wuzu washes their body with the same intention, he will definitely be granted reward and water will remain unused. Number 27. Used water is pure and can be used to wash clothes. However, wuzu cannot be made with used water. To drink used water or to knead the dough with it is makruh, i.e. makruh tanzihi, disliked. Number 28. If someone has stolen the water of anyone else or has taken it into his custody forcefully without permission, though wuzu will be valid with this water, this is haram. However, if someone has filled water from a well, despite being forbidden by its owner, it is permissible to use this water. Number 29. It is better not to make wuzu with the water the jet or drops of used water have fallen into. Number 30. In case of making wuzu during winter, if someone suspects that he will feel uncomfortable and severe cold, but there is no risk of any disease, then tayammum is not allowed. Number 31. Satan spits and blows, causing the salah offering person to suspect that he has passed a urine droplet and broken wind. The ruling is that the salah offering person should not pay attention to this satanic thought unless he is sure that he can take an oath about his wuzu being invalidated. If Satan says your wuzu has been invalidated, he should reply in the heart, O devil, you are a liar. He should continue offering salah. Number 32. It is wajib to protect the masjid from anything disgusting, even if it is pure, such as saliva, phlegm, spittle, mucus, watery nasal discharge during cold, wuzu water. Number 33. Caution. After making wuzu, some people wipe their face and arms with their hands and then jerk their hands in the masjid. This is absolutely haram and impermissible. Number 34. To urinate into water is absolutely makruh, even if he is in the river. Number 35. If some impurity is lying anywhere, it is makruh to recite the Holy Quran there. Number 36. To waste water is haram. Number 37. To waste wealth is haram. Number 38. To make wudu and ghusl with zamzam water is absolutely permissible. If one has used clods after urination, etc., it is makruh to make istinja with zamzam water. Washing impurity off excretory organs with zamzam, for example, washing the urinary organ after urination with zamzam water without drying it with a tissue paper, etc., is a sin. Number 39. The israf that is impermissible and a sin can only take place in the following two situations. Number 1. To spend something on a sin. Number 2. To waste wealth purposelessly. Number 40. If some people give a funeral bath to a deceased person in order to teach it to others without intending to give the funeral bath, the deceased person will get pure and farz will also be considered to have been fulfilled by living people. The action of giving the funeral bath is sufficient. However, no reward will be granted without intention. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. In order to learn essential rulings about wuzu, do read the 66-page booklet Method of Wuzu Hanafi contained in the book Laws of Salah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.